الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our silsila, our program, The Final Revelation. As you know that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this program, in this silsila, we're talking about the blessings and the benefits and the beauty of the Quran. The Quran, the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, revealed on the blessed heart of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. Many ulama, many scholars have written thousands of books on the blessings, just on the blessings of the Quran itself. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, me and you are lucky that Allah Azza wa Jal has made us amongst the Muslims, and that we have the blessed Quran in our hands, we have the blessed Quran in our homes. My dear Islamic brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today in this silsila, we're going to talk about some of the blessings and reciting some of the verses and some of the surah of the Holy Quran. As we know that the Quran is blessed from first word to the last word, there are blessings and blessings in the Quran. But some of the surah, some of the chapters in the Quran have a special blessing, has a special meaning in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's start by making good intentions. As you know that Amir al-Sunnat, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us, he mentions this countless times to us, that we should always make good intentions prior to doing something good. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, there's a few good intentions that I will make now, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, you could also make them intentions as well. I make the intention that the bayan that I will deliver now will only be for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. I will make the intention that I will try to pass on the message of the Quran and Sunnah, as the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, that pass on from me whatever you know. Ballighu anni walau aya. Pass on from me even though if it's an ayat. So whatever we hear today, my dear Islam brothers, make it an intention to pass this knowledge on to other people as well. As you know, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, one of the best ways that we can listen to a bayan is try to leave everything that you are doing at the moment. Just pay attention and then try to capture knowledge. As the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they would capture that knowledge. They would write it on bones, on stones, on leaves, whatever they could find. The Sahaba-i-Kiram would try to capture the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why when we talk about the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never has anyone written a biography about anyone. But if you look at the biography, the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's seerat. And until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically was present in this world, and even after that, you will find the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt, my dear Islam brothers, he was an amazing person. He was one of the best person whoever walked on the surface of the earth. Why not? He was the beloved of Allah. He was Imamul Anbiya. He was the beloved of Allah. He was the reason for the creation of this universe. May Allah Azza wa Jal send countless salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah azza wa jalla forgive our sins for his behalf, for his sake. Amir al-Sunnah, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us, in one of his bayans, he mentions a very faith enlightening blessing of reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is stated that at the time of Sahri, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was sewing something and she had the needle in her hand. And then suddenly the needle dropped out of her hand and then the candle light went off as well. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha tried to look for the needle but she couldn't find the needle. And then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the light of the universe, he walked in. فَأَدَاءَتِ الْبَيْتُ بِدَوْئِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَوُجِدَتِ الْإِبْرَى. Yeah, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walked inside the room with the beauty and the light of his face, the whole room was lit up. She found her needle. And she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أَدْوَأَ وَجْهَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayka wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, your face is so beautiful and there is so much nur and light on your face. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O Aisha, destruction is for that person who will not see my face on the day of judgment. Oh, he will not see me on the day of judgment. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, O Prophet of Allah, what was the reason that these people will not see you on the day of judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, that they are those people because they are stingy. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she again asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will these people do that they will not see you on the day of judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, الَّذِي لَا يُسَلِّي عَلَيَّ إِذَا سَمِعَ بِإِسْمِي. Yani these people, they will hear my name, but they will not recite salutations, durood upon me. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَبَارِكُ وَسَلِّمْ. My dear Islam brothers, try to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundantly. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he says that, you know, destruction is for that person. And no doubt on the day of judgment, as we've heard from the scholars, on the day of judgment there will be no one, there will be no other savior than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is why we need to make our habit to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, once we made this habit, you will see how beautiful it is. You will see that satisfaction inside your heart. You will see how you will enjoy to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amir al-Sunnat has given us such a beautiful Madani Inam. He says, do you recite at least 313 times durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why 313 times? And there's a question that comes to mind. Why 313? Amir al-Sunnat, he says, that the scholars have said that anyone who recites durood 313 times, that is as if he has recited durood abundantly unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I make the intention. You also make the intention that inshallah azza wa jal, we will recite at least 313 times every day durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah azza wa jal. Hazrat Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam has said, إِنَّ لِقَارِئِ الْقُرْآنِ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ, that the one who recites the Qur'an, his du'as will be accepted. فَإِنْ شَاءَ صَاحِبُهَا عَجَّلَهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Either he can have his du'as accepted in the dunya, or وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَخْرَهَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ, or he can have his du'as accepted on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. And my dear Islamic brothers, dua is such a blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal Himself has said inside the glorious Quran. Para number 24, Surah Mu'min, verse number 60. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Translation from Kanzul Iman, ask from me, I will accept your prayer. So Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding the Muslims, ask from me, I will accept your prayers. Now who is there apart from Allah Azza wa Jal who can answer our prayers? Is there anyone out there? Is there anyone that can answer our prayers? There is no one, my dear Islam brothers. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who will answer our prayers. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who will fulfill our needs. And yes, Alhamdulillah, with the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our du'as will be accepted. And my dear Islam brothers, sometimes what happens that a person, when he makes a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, he hurries too much and he tries to, you know, make dua quickly. And from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we find that a person who reads the Quran, that person, he could have his du'as accepted in the dunya, or them du'as could be saved for him on the day of judgment. But whilst we are making du'a, we should not hurry up in making du'a, in acceptance of our du'a. Raisul Mutakallimeen, the father of Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he writes that some of the etiquettes of du'a are that when you make du'a, you do not hurry in your du'a to be accepted. And today, sadly, my dear Islam brothers, if you look at the reality, we don't even know how to make du'a. We don't know what are the rites and the manners and the etiquettes for making du'a. You see people going to the masjid, when they're making du'a, the hands are like this. We're looking around, we're leaning against the wall, our legs are stretched outwards, and we've got our hands on our lap, and we're making du'a. We don't even know because we're not even concentrating. And the etiquettes and the manners of the du'a is that you ask from Allah Azza wa Jal from the bottom of your heart. What is it that you want? Just imagine, if we go up to someone and we ask something from him, and we ask in a manner that person, he doesn't like that manner. We don't expect to be getting anything from that person. Have you seen a beggar? Have you seen a beggar, how he makes du'a? When a beggar, he comes up to someone, he puts his hand out, and he tries to cry, please give me something. You know, his facial expression are such that you feel sorry for him, and then you give him money. When we are making du'a in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, what are our facial expressions? We'll be looking around, we are not even concentrating on what we want from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then we complain, my du'a is not accepted. I've been making du'a for so and so problems that I have, but my du'a is not being fulfilled. Why is it that my du'as are not accepted? Don't ask that question, why my du'as are not accepted. Ask yourself, do you know how to make du'a properly? Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was once walking through the streets of Medina, and he saw a person who had a bottle of alcohol, sharab, in his hand. As he saw Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quickly hid the bottle of alcohol behind his back. And he made a dua. He started to, you know, curse himself. Why is it that I drink alcohol? And now I've been caught today. What am I going to reply to Amirul Mumineen? He's going to ask me, what am I going to reply? He has caught me red-handed. And at that time, that person, he makes a dua. He says, oh Allah, save me from the punishment of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Oh Allah, I promise you, I will never drink alcohol again. As this person was making the dua, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walked towards him and he says to the person, tell me what you are hiding behind your back. And the person, he says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, it is nothing. It's a bottle of vinegar. And Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, show me this bottle. And as this person, now he's scared. because he knows it's a bottle of alcohol. As he brings his hand forward and he says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, it is a bottle of vinegar. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he smelt it, it was vinegar. That person, he made a dua, Allah accepted his dua. That dua came from the bottom of his heart. We've got problems today. Financial problems, family issues, disobedient children, health issues, so on, so other problems that we are facing today. But today, my dear Islamic brothers, are we really doing justice to ourselves? We've got so many problems. Yet when we make dua, we rush into making dua. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says that a person, he should not rush into making dua. He quotes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that Allah azza wa jal does not accept the dua of three types of people. Number one, a person who commits sins, his dua will not be accepted. The second type of person, the one who breaks relationships. And the third type of person, the one who rushes into dua, their duas will not be accepted. This has been taken from At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, hadith number 9. So three types of people. Are we amongst these three types of people? Are we the one of these three people? Either we are committing sins. I'm sorry to say this, my dear Islamic brothers. But today we see majority of the people, they will commit sins. But when it comes to dua, they will not even, because they don't even know how to repent. We don't know how to repent. We don't know how to do tawbah in the court of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. We need to do tawbah. Allah Ta'ala is commanding the Muslims, the believers, that we should repent in His court. But today, my dear Islamic brothers, we don't know how to make the dua. And then we complain that our problems aren't being resolved. Our issues are still there. Our illnesses are still there. How are they going to be removed when we don't even know how to ask from Allah Azza wa Jal? We rush into these things. And one of the biggest problems, the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in this hadith, is those people who commit sins. We commit sins day in, day out, every minute, every second of our lives, we are committing sins. And then we expect our problems to be removed. It's not possible, is it, my dear Islamers? Allah Ta'ala, if He wants, He can forgive us without making dua. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants, He can forgive us. But Allah Ta'ala has set rules and guidelines how we should be making dua. And today, my dear Islamic brothers, we need to learn the etiquettes of dua. We need to learn what the manners of dua are. Sadly, you know, you see people when they're making dua, you know, they've got so many problems in their lives. Yet when it comes to making the dua, they're not making the dua according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And hence, these people, sometimes the shaitan will work on them. You know, just imagine, you know, if we've got a problem and you start to make dua, and then one day you're going to think to yourself, oh, the shaitan will whisper in your mind, why are you bothering for? Why are you making dua? Your duas are not being accepted. And then what happens is a person, he stops making dua. That's it, he stops making dua. Why? Because the shaitan has now instilled in his heart that you may make any dua, your duas are not being accepted. But remember, my dear Islamic brothers, all du'as are accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those du'as that are made humbly, those prayers that are made in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal with sincerity, with humbleness, with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, those du'as are always accepted. Either these du'as, these prayers are saved for that person on the day of judgment. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala will accept his prayers in the dunya, in the world. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala will delay his prayers just to see how much love he has for Allah Azza wa Jal, how much trust he has in Allah Azza wa Jal. Today, on one hand, we are making dua, and the other hand, we want everything to be, you know, everything to be okay. We want everything to be back to normal because I've just made a dua. But what And what was the condition of my dua? So my dear Islam brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this very beautiful, you know, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we've learned, let's not be amongst these three people. The one who commits sins, the one who rushes into his dua, and the one who breaks relationships. You know, you break relationship with your own family members. Suddenly today, the father or the son is breaking relationship with his own father and mother. How can that ever be happening? A son, a daughter, breaking relationship with his own father and mother. How could it be possible? A brother breaking relationship with his own brother. How could it be possible? A sister breaking relationship with his own brother, with her own sister. Why is this happening? Because my dear Islamic brothers, we have moved away from the deen. We have moved away from the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are living another life. We are living a life of illusion. We think everything is okay. Today, sadly, everyone's got money. Everyone's got money. Everyone, you know, one thing that we all say, why don't need to be bothering with them? My brother, my sister, they don't want to talk to me. Fair enough, don't talk to me. I eat from my own home. I'm not begging for them. I'm not asking for them any money. So let them do whatever they want. We are breaking relationships. Remember, breaking relationships is one of the major sins that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. Yes. It's not a minor sin. It's not something small that we can, you know, as they say, brush it under the carpet. This is a very, very major sin that we're talking about. Breaking relationship with your own brothers and sisters, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, your aunties. We are breaking relationship with these. Only over slightly of things. Didn't invite me to the wedding. Didn't invite me to the birthday party. Didn't invite me to this party that they were having at home. Never gave me salam. I walked past him, but he never looked at me. These are not the reasons that we should be breaking relationships. There could be so many things that were going on in his mind that he didn't even see you, that he walked past you. He ran out of invitation cards. That's why he couldn't invite you to the wedding. That was the reason he forgot. Please forgive him. Don't say, take these things in heart. He didn't call me, I'm not going to call him as well. That's not Islam. That's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, if someone deprives you of something, you give it to him first. Why? Because he deprived you. Why are you going to be like him? You think bad about him, don't you? Because he hasn't invited you. Why are you doing the bad to him again? You know, two wrongs don't make a right, do they? They don't. So dear my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, let's listen further about the blessings of reciting the beautiful and reading the beautiful Quran. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports this hadith has been written in Mishkat Sharif, volume 1, page number 188. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع رجلا يقرأ قل هو الله أحد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he heard a man who was reciting قل هو الله أحد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he replied وجبت, يعني it's become wajib upon him. And then Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما وجبت, what is wajib? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فقال الجنة, yani jannat, paradise has become wajib upon that person. Subhanallah, by reciting Surah Ikhlas, قل هو الله أحد, jannat becomes wajib upon that person. In another hadith, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, he says, من أراد أن ينام على فراشه, that the one who goes to sleep, فَنَامَ عَلَىٰ يَمِينِهِ, and he sleeps on the right side, ثُمَّ قَرَأَ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, and then he recites 100 times Surah Ikhlas. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ يَقُولُ لَهُ الرَّبُّ, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal, he will say to that person, يَا عَبْدِي أُدْخُلْ عَلَىٰ يَمِينِكَ الْجَنَّةِ, O my person, O my bondsman, go enter from paradise from your right side. Sallu ala al-Habib, صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. حجة الإسلام حضرت سیدنا امام محمد غزالی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ, he writes in لباب الاحیاء a hadith of the Prophet صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. He says that 2000 years before Allah Azza wa Jal created anything, he read Surah Taha and Surah Yasin Sharif. When they heard the Quran, the angels, they said that congratulations to that ummah, to that nation whom the Quran will be revealed upon. And then another group of angels, they said congratulations to those that the Quran will be in their chests. And then another group of angels, they said congratulations to that tongue who will recite the glorious Quran. Subhanallah, my dear Islam brothers, just imagine, subhanallah, the recitation of the Quran, all your illnesses, all your problems, because remember, the Quran is a form of shifa as well, is a form of cure. The Quran is dua, the Quran is shifa, the Quran is everything. For a Muslim, the Quran should be everything for us. All our lives should be spent in reading the glorious Quran. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins, and may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the power and the ability to recite the glorious Quran. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alayhi wa Sallam.